with a disclaimer. This might not be one of your issues. Everybody has issues. This might not be your issues. We're talking about sadness. We're talking about people falling into melancholy and depression. And the reason that it happens is because things aren't right. Things aren't the way they think it could or should be. And because of this, they fall into melancholy, and we learned about the dangers, the pitfalls. It's a very bad thing to happen to you. So we talked about when things go wrong physically, materially, illness, lack of parnasa, death of the family, and so on and so forth. How does one contend with that? Why shouldn't one be depressed? Why shouldn't one fall into a melancholy? And Alter Rebbe talked about this idea that no bad comes from on high, and even though that we can't understand that, but we take that on faith. And we talked about the higher level of God's interaction with this world. There's Yudkei and Vavkei, and Asher HaGever Asher Tiasrenu Yudkei. Fortunate is the person who is being chastened or chastised or is coming in contact with this higher level of divinity, and that all the suffering in this world is actually a segue into wonderful things in the other world and in the future, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
This is a difficult pill to swallow, a difficult and very, very challenging theological concept, but nonetheless, Alter Rebbe maintains a true one, and one that could help lift us out of negative situations. The next troubleshooting, the next strategic issue is, what if somebody is depressed because life has been a failure? They have not fulfilled their destiny. So they committed sins. Okay, so I just framed it by talking about not fulfilling life's destiny, because a lot of people don't care about sins. That doesn't bother them. But the point of a sin, or the point of not fulfilling destinies, is one and the same, that you could have been close to God and instead you're distant from God. So should a person feel sad about that? And the Alter Rebbe said that if these thoughts come to you in the middle of doing your daily business, clearly it's not coming from a good place. It's not because you're worried about God. It's not because you're worried about a sense of closeness to the Creator or a spirituality that was lost. What you're worried about is yourself. It's just an egotistical expression. I should have been better. I need to do this. I needed to be the one, and so on and so forth. And if so, it's not really wholesome. It's not a good thing. The ego is never a good thing. So what should you do? But the fact is, the things that were done were not appropriate, and the losses are real. Alter Rebbe says, true, deal with it at a later time. And he's going to talk about this a little bit further on the Tanya. So when should we deal with this? But compartmentalize, not for now. Why? Because Avodas Hashem has to be done mitech simcha v'tuv levav. Now you have to serve Hashem. Now you have to be in a state of joy. And he demonstrates and proves that these negative feelings, this melancholy, this depression, this sadness, ultimately comes from a bad place right now. It's not from a good place. And it's a tachbulas hayetzer. It's the machinations and the strategy of the yetzer hara to get you to trip, to slip, and then to fall. Every person needs to feel happy. Every person needs to feel well-adjusted. A person needs to, so to speak, justify their existence. And if you cannot, then you fall into melancholy. And if you're melancholy anyway, then who cares? I may as well find joy somewhere. So you start to exploit various lusts and desires and pleasures, which are unwholesome, don't really make people happy in the long run anyway, but become a vicious cycle. And we talked about the idea of addiction and how addiction comes from filling real needs with pseudo-fillers. That's a very brief synopsis. An imperfect but brief synopsis of chapter 26.
If not now, when?
If not now, when? When? When should you be sad? Alter Rebbe will talk about it later. Either at a time when you're sad anyway. Or maybe we're talking about Tikkun Chatzos. When you wake up in the middle of the night to cry for the Shechina. There are times. A person could set aside a certain time. Because now I'm going to review my life. And now I'm going to express my bitterness. And I'm going to yearn for a closeness to Hashem. And then you'd finish. Once you get that session done, that's it. Recompartmentalized, out of the way, and back to doing the right thing in a joyous fashion.
As long as you control when, it's halfway already.
First of all, if you control when, then it's not circumstances controlling you, but you controlling circumstances. It's not different from what the Alter Rebbe says about anger. There are times when anger is appropriate. When you see a terrorist behave in a negative fashion, it's right to be angry. If you're not angry, something's wrong with you. That means you don't really care. You're indifferent. Indifference is a horrible thing. The problem with anger is that it is a very powerful emotion and oftentimes controls us. And when it controls us instead of us controlling it, then it becomes toxic and negative and can even be as bad as worshiping idols. But when we use it, we can utilize it. So the sadness is real, the regret is real at a time. It has to be a limited time. It doesn't spill over and ruin your whole life. You say, okay, I have a time, I regret what I did, And the point of this regret, of these feelings, is should be to resolve for the future not to let this mistake happen again, to really transcend the negativity that was by redoubling your efforts to what will be. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about frum foibles. People who maybe come to Yiddishkeit, or people maybe who are born into a life that's filled with Yiddishkeit, and they have guilt, and they feel sadness and melancholy, because they've been working at trying to change themselves for some time, or maybe a long time, and they're not succeeding. They realize they're still the same person. They go through the motions, they're doing all the mechanics that are required and expected of them. They daven, they study Torah, they do mitzvahs meticulously, but they're still the same small, petty people. They still get caught up in the same lusts. They still get caught up in the same desires. They still have the same inappropriate thoughts, and they're ashamed. How could I have these thoughts? If I have thoughts like this, I must be a horrible person. If I can get caught up in this kind of stupidity, if I can be such a petty individual, what a low life I am. And I'm really wasting my time anyway. Yitzhahara comes to you and says, you see, you came to Yiddishkeit, you did your mitzvahs, it didn't make you any better. You're still the same petty little person. So it's a waste of time. It doesn't work for you. Maybe it helps others. It's not for you. And a person falls into sadness, feels into a melancholy because it's a failure. And if it's a failure, and if I'm not happy anyway, who needs the Yiddishkeit? If all it does is make me unhappy, the heck with it. I'm just going to do whatever I want, live my own life. This is a brilliant strategy on behalf of the Yetzirah. Well, when you're like a little child getting bullied in the playground, here's your big brother. The Alter Rebbe is here to help you. He's give you a big stick. So he's here to beat the bully away. When the bully comes to you and he says to you, you think you're a devout Jew? You think you're pious? Look at you. You have all these bad thoughts. Look how petty you are. Look how small-minded you are. Look how angry and snarling and lust-filled. All your mitzvahs are worthless. Clearly, you haven't moved from first base. So just give it up. And these are, for somebody who takes Yiddishkeit somewhat seriously, or somebody who wants to take Yiddishkeit seriously, who wants to believe that this is the real deal, wants to follow it, wants to try to engage in this kind of life, and then finds themselves nowhere, so you feel bad. You say, well, isn't Judaism supposed to make you a better person? And you're like, yeah. And why aren't you a better person? You're the same small person, huh? So you're wasting your time. So the Alter Rebbe says now, Ve'im ha'atzvos, chapter 27. Ve'im ha'atzvos einu medayges ha'veines. If the melancholy and sadness and depression doesn't come because there's anguish or anxiety over sins that were committed, which, as we said, that kind of anguish and anxiety is actually appropriate. How could you not care if you did sins? And just for those who have difficulty wrapping their heads around the idea of bin adam lamakim, of what we do between us and Hashem, think of it bin adam lachaveri. You shamed, embarrassed, harmed, and hurt, and injured your friend, and now you just walk away? Happy-go-lucky. That's not my problem. Okay, so they got beat up. So they have trauma. I can't be bothered. I am on my way, a path to happiness. I'm on my path to righteousness. Yeah, but look at all those bodies you left in the way on your path to righteousness. How about all those people you harmed? Yeah, well, I can't be bothered by that. That's not nice. Not only it's not nice, it's not appropriate. That's very bad. You need to do something about that. You need to come clean. You need to deal with the damage you caused. So if it's damage bin adam l'chaveri, if it's damage between people, you have a responsibility to reach out to those people or reach out to them through an intermediary and figure out, how am I going to make things right? I have to make things. I did the wrong thing. Or if it's between you and Hashem, you don't need any intermediaries. You and God can have this face to face. Talk it out. Deal with it. Not now, though. Not now. Why? Because Hashem doesn't want that now. Now He wants you to serve Him with joy. You will not be served well. Hashem will not be served well. Yiddishkeit will not be served well if you continue to remain trapped in the mistakes and the foibles and the losses of the past. But those are real concerns. Those are real and valid anxieties. It's a reason for sadness. It can't be dismissed. It can't be ignored. It has to be dealt with. But that's when a person actually did the aveda. That's when a person actually harmed a person. You threw the punch. You hurled the insult. You made the post on Facebook. Whatever. You did something to harm somebody. Well, you did something, now you have to beg forgiveness. You have to make up for it, because you did it. What if I didn't do it? I wanted to do it. I burned with anger, or jealousy, or frustration, or lust, or desire, for that which was unwholesome. I didn't do anything about it. But this is what's inside me. This is who I am. I'm this petty little creature. So a person feels sad. He feels he has an anxiety. He says, okay, fine. It's not mili dishmaya per se. I haven't actually violated anything. But at the same time, I'm talking here about you know, having very negative feelings. Now, in order for us to go forward, I have to just briefly remind you that the Alter Rebbe introduced us to three kinds of possible people, three categories of people. There is the tzaddik. The tzaddik has no lusts. The tzaddik has no material desires. The tzaddik has no ego. The tzaddik is a person who has essentially broken the atmosphere. And as such, in outer space, he has no gravity. It's a different kind of reality. Very hard to break the atmosphere. You need a lot of fuel. You need a lot of fire. You need a lot of oomph. Very few people ever get to do it. There are more people who actually made it into physical outer space than actually became tzaddikim.
That's the olamot we discussed.
It's olamot, the higher consciousness. There are more astronauts in the world than tzaddikim today, and there aren't that many astronauts. That's reality. So the tzaddik is a totally different kind of person. If you want to call him a superhuman, on some level he is. He's like a superhero. In the superhero comics, he's like a Spider-Man, a Superman, a Wonder Woman. He or she has abilities other people don't have. Why? Because they're so self-effacing. Because they actually manage to transcend the limitations of ordinary, everyday humanity. And as such, would the tzaddik ever be filled with, for example, jealousy? If he's filled with jealousy, he's not a tzaddik. Would the tzaddik be filled with lust, with desire for a physical, material pleasure? No. If he does, you can bet your bottom dollar he or she is not a tzaddik. Would the tzaddik say, what's in it for me? I mean, I got to take care of number one first. It's fine, you're not a tzaddik. So what about a person who does every single mitzvah that's available? Every mitzvah that's possible, they do the mitzvah. They don't leave a single arrow. Everything is used. Everything. And they never ever let themselves fall into anything which is inappropriate. Never do, not only the empty all the arrows, they never ever ever do something which is wrong. They're vigilant, they're fighting. They have desires, but they never do anything wrong. Is that person a tzaddik? To us he sounds like a tzaddik. To us he's way beyond what we could imagine. But Alter Rebbe says that person is just a beinoni. He is the in-between person. Because the rasha is the individual who violates the Torah every day of the year. The rasha is the person who gives in to his whims, who does everything the animal soul wants. The tzaddik is the person who has slayed his dragons, doesn't have an animal soul anymore. So what's the in-between person? The person who has all the desires, the lusts, the foibles, the weaknesses that a regular person has, that a rasha has even. But what's the difference? He doesn't act on it. He doesn't act on it. So outside of the rubric of chassidus, even in Judaism, most people misguidedly think that's a tzaddik. In other faith systems, for sure that's a tzaddik. That's a super righteous person. Never does anything wrong. From our perspective, it's just the average person. And this is key, because since it's the average person, everybody can aspire to this. We can all aspire to living perfect lives, getting a perfect score. Well, you won't always get a perfect score? Okay. But now, for this hour of your life, could you be a beinoni? Could you be perfect now? Could you do everything Hashem wants now without violating anything? Or let's be a beinoni 1 hour at a time. Let's be a beinoni for next hour. Let's be a beinoni for today. Today, I'm not doing anything wrong. Today, it's my birthday. Today, it's my anniversary. Today is just a good day. I don't know. Fine. Today's Yom Kippur. I'm not doing anything wrong today. Could you conceive of such a thing? It's doable. It's doable. And there were people who did this. There were Chassidim who dedicated their lives, absolutely, very, very righteous men and women, who committed themselves to being on the battlefield, and they just constantly waged battle with the Yetzer Hara. Of course, you may ask the question, what's the point? A point of endless battle. What's the point if you can never win the battle? What's the point of fighting and fighting and fighting if you can never declare victory? It's a good question. We're going to deal with it later.
Tzaddik doesn't have Yetzer Hara, or he
does? The Tzaddik had a Yetzer Hara.
The
Tzaddik slayed
That's
the dragons. That's why David HaMelech says, Tzaddik works 10 times harder than we work. The Tzaddik's Avodah is beyond what we can fathom. because we could barely wrap our heads around a Beinoni. Let me give an example of a Tzaddik's Aveda. There is a minhag that when we come to Uval Tzion, the end of Uval Tzion, say L'mal L'nigal L'rik L'nedel L'habahola, there's a minhag, there's a custom to kiss one's tefillin. Just to touch the head and tefillin and the head tefillin. Where does it come from? There's a story of a Tzaddik who lived somewhere in the Middle Ages or in the times of the Gaonim, who once in his life, when he came to that part of davening, he wasn't thinking about his tefillin. Because when he wore his tefillin, he always thought about his tefillin. He became kind of enraptured with this idea, L'mal L'nigal L'rik. He was thinking about the davening, but he forgot about his tefillin. And that was considered a sin for him. So when he came to heaven, he went to Gan Eden, he went to a certain point, he couldn't go further. And what happened? 1 year, his yahrzeit fell on Shabbos. Yahrzeit is when you go to the next world. So the year it fell on Shabbos, because Shabbos things happen automatically, that was the first time he managed to get past this roadblock. Now, if you even think about this, you will go crazy. And to worry about L'manli Nigalodik, yeah, sure, it's a custom, I custom film. If I think about my film, I'm already doing good. Not if I forget about my tefillin. Right? What could I do? I could do my best not to speak any extra words in my tefillin. I could do my best, try to focus on what I'm doing. The tzaddik he has impossible standards. The tzaddik is living with a margin of zero error. And what's the tzaddik's aveda? To do more. So if the tzaddik, for example, gets lazy with lazy that he sleeps so 1 second more than he was supposed to sleep, he doesn't jump out of bed in Maida'ani, then the tzaddik already has fallen short. Why? Because the tzaddik could have gone further. The tzaddik is be like Hillel HaZaken, who this crazy guy comes to bother him, pulling him out of the shower, Erev Shabbos, to ask him stupid questions, to get him angry. And he doesn't get him angry. It's not even normal. That's just like at a certain point, this is Meshuga, like enough. But Hillel doesn't get angry. Can we understand that even? It's not within the frame of normalcy. So when it comes to the Aveda of a Tzaddik, we have no clue what that means, really and truly. Interestingly, the Alter Rebbe wrote another book called Sefer Shel Tzaddikim, and it was lost in a fire. And he had forbidden anybody to ever look at it. So when it was burnt, he was very distraught, and he asked his son, the Mittler Rebbe, did you ever look in the book? Mittler Rebbe says, my father forbade me. How could I look in the book? The Alter Rebbe says, you should have had Mesiras Nefesh V'Chassidus. It's like, whatever you do is no good. You know, like the tzaddik lives mamash, what we would consider an impossible life, a life which is not normal. It's insane. Can't live like that. A normal person can't live like in a straitjacket. Okay, don't worry. You don't have to live like that. Nobody's asking you to be a tzaddik. What is being asked of you? Control it. Tamp it down. You be in control of life. Don't let your emotions get the better of you. Don't let your lusts, your desires, your pettiness, your jealousies, your anger, your slothfulness, all these things, fight against it and do what's right. You know what's right. There's a code of Jewish law, Shulchan Aruch. Just do what the Shulchan Aruch says. So if a person starts to have melancholy because he or she is having thoughts that are inappropriate on a whole wide range, whatever it may be, so really, what is the person melancholy about? Think about this. What is their sadness about? What is the disappointment about? The disappointment is not about the thought. The disappointment ultimately is that they are not a
tzaddik.
That you're not a tzaddik. So what are you getting melancholy about that for? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. So the Alter Rebbe says, if what happens is that the melancholy comes from evil thoughts, from negative and lustful desires, if that's what it comes from, so in that case, so the Alter Rebbe says, okay, mimanafshach, hine. If these thoughts come to him, not when he's doing Avedas Hashem, not when he's sitting down to make a calculation, a reckoning of what happened during the today and promise that tomorrow will be a better day, not during davening, not during a time when he's doing something which is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's going about his or her daily business, doing normal things that people have to do, whether it's grooming or eating or menial tasks, whatever it may be. So if it's by derech eretz v'chai gavno, says the Alter Rebbe, not only you shouldn't get despondent, not only having these thoughts shouldn't bring you to melancholy, adrabe, on the contrary, I should be happy about this? Yes, says the Alter Rebbe, you should be happy about it. How could I be happy about it? How could I be happy about my pettiness? How could I be happy about my lustful desires? How could I be happy about my slothfulness and my anger? How could I be happy about my ego? Alter Rebbe says, you should rejoice in your lot. And this is a key concept in Chassidus and in Judaism in general. Ezehu Ashir, who is wealthy, says the Mishnah, Hasameach Bechelkei, the person who is satisfied with their lot. There will always be somebody who has more than you. Thank you. There will always be somebody that has more. Always. Guarantee. I promise you. There will always be somebody who's smarter. There will always be somebody who's more talented. There will always be somebody who's richer. There will always be somebody more successful. There will always be somebody who has more than you. I could also guarantee you that there will always be somebody who has less than you. So the question is, what will make me happy? So you come to the person, what will make you happy? What will make me happy? Thinks about a situation. If I could have what the Yankel has, then I'll be happy. If I could have what Yankel has, I just want a two-car garage, I want my mortgage paid, just two cars, decent cars, I'll be happy. A week in Jamaica, a week in Barbados, I'll be happy. That's it. I'm not asking for much. That'll make me happy. What happens? So he gets it. He gets what he wants. He has a two-car garage. He has his cars. He has his vacations. He's not happy. Why is he not happy? Because Sydney, he has three cars. And Sydney not only spends a week in Jamaica and Barbados, he also goes to Turks and Caicos. And he has more fun. He has more fun. So now he's not happy. So now he has to be Sydney because being Yankel wasn't good enough. Then he becomes Sydney, and he got his upgrade, and he has a nicer house, and every now he's even better, and he's even in Turks and Caicos. The Turks and Caicos, but you know, Harry goes to Mexico too. And it sounds ridiculous what I'm telling you, but this is actually the story of our lives. We're always looking at somebody else, and we say, but that person has more. That person has what I don't have. If only I could have what they have. So maybe you should start looking at people who don't have. Maybe the people don't have a house altogether. Maybe the people who don't have the ability to ever go on vacation. Maybe the people who don't have their eyesight, or their hearing, or they're paraplegic, or they have grief. You know, we could go on. This, you don't have to use your imagination. This is all real, horrible things out there. So what will make you happy? So here's the key you have to know. The truth is, none of the above will actually make you happy. You know who will make you happy? You will make you happy. When you will be satisfied with what you have. And if you will be satisfied with what you have and have no expectations, like we live in this millennial generation. I'm probably going to offend any young people who are watching, but they don't watch many young people. So the millennials, they have entitlement. Entitlement. They have expectations. I'm supposed to have X, Y, and Z. But who said you're supposed to have? Everybody else has it. Well, I don't know what that means. Everybody else has it. Did you work for it? Did you toil for it? No, but I should have it. Why? What do you mean? Because. Just because. Because I am and I should have. So they're unhappy. Millennials unhappy. A perpetually unhappy generation. Higher depression, higher suicide, higher misery, a whole day on Facebook. It's a reality. What are they so unhappy for? The source of unhappiness comes from entitlement. There's no satisfaction. I'm going to be satisfied with less? Why should I deserve more. Whatever anybody else has, I should have too. Now all of a sudden socialism is in vogue again. Why? Because socialism means I don't have to be jealous of you. I could just take away what you had and feel righteous about it too. I could take away your wealth, take away your success. I have to make sure everybody shares it, my high-mindedness, because I'm a very high-minded person. And in my high-minded morality, if you have more than me, that's already not fair. So now my entitlement allows me to steal. My entitlement allows me to exploit. My entitlement allows me to harm because I'm a high-minded communist. Because I have the really lofty way of looking at life. Yeah, but that doesn't really work that way. That person may have worked, or maybe they got lucky. That's not your business. Your business is not what they have versus what you have. And invariably, this system has never worked. It can't work. It doesn't work. It goes against human nature. It can't work. So how should a person be happy? The answer is, Ezehu Asher Hasameach Bechelkei. Find joy in what you have. Count your blessings and be joyous. So the Alter Rebbe says, a person has to be joyous also with his or her spiritual lot. I'm having bad thoughts. Yiddishkeit's not transforming me. I'm not becoming a new person. I'm not experiencing weightlessness. I'm depressed. I'm so melancholy. Look at my friend the Tzaddik. He doesn't have these issues. He doesn't have to worry about this Yetzirah coming and sniping at him. He just takes the high path. I'm so jealous of the Tzaddik. You know what? You'd be a Tzaddik, you wouldn't be happy either. First of all, you can't become a Tzaddik that way. But the point is, rejoice in what Hashem gave you. Hashem didn't give you a neshama of a Tzaddik. you be happy with what you have. Hashem gave you the ability to serve him. But he says, I can serve him? What are you talking? Even though he has all these bad thoughts. So, when they have the bad thoughts, what should I do? Don't ruminate on them. Here's a basic mistake that a lot of frum people make. If I have these lusts, I must be bad. It's not true. If I have certain desires, I must be horrible. So what happens? So the people who have these desires fall into melancholy and depression, and they just run away from Yiddishkeit. And they're angry at God, because I have these desires. Nobody else has these desires. I have these ugly desires. If I have these desires, I'm a horrible person. I'm a terrible person. The Torah says bad things about me. No, it doesn't. The Torah never says, you're not allowed to have desires. The Torah says, you're not allowed to act out certain desires. So the person who's a philanderer by nature and can never be satisfied, and monogamy is anathema to him, and he can't deal with it, and he's always looking elsewhere, and that's his nature. So what should he do about that? He can make a parade and celebrate the fact that he's a philanderer, or he could say, I'm going to do what's right. Ask the Eibishter what the Eibishter wants. What does God say in his Torah? Why does my neighbor not have these taivas? Why does my neighbor not interested in everybody else's wife and I am? It's not fair. Life's not about fair. Life's about the opportunities that I have. So what's my opportunity? My opportunity is that the person who has these bad thoughts has the opportunity to turn his mind away from it. And in doing so, lekayem mashenemar, then he could fulfill what's written in Chumash Bamidbar, v'leisasuru achre levavchem, v'achre einechem, asher atem zoinim achareihem. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah in the Torah is, do not be drawn after your hearts, the desire in the heart, v'achre einechem, after the eye, like Rashi says, quoting the Sifri, ha'ayin roye, ha'lev choymid, the eye sees, the heart lusts. And then, you start to run after it. You lust after it. So the Alter Rebbe says, when a person is faced with these things, he actually has been given an opportunity. What's the opportunity?
To overcome it.
So the person who loves pork, he dies for pork. He used to eat pork. Doesn't eat it anymore. Now he learned Yiddishkeit Torah. Doesn't eat pork. But he loves pork. He loves crab. I don't know, whatever it is. And he salivates over it. And every time he walks by one of these restaurants that serves it, he's swooning. But he controls himself. He says, I can't. I love it. But Hashem says, I can't eat it. He doesn't eat it. So you should know that every time he walks by McDonald's, he gets a mitzvah. Every single time. Every time he walks by in the airport and it smells the rotisserie and doesn't pull out his wallet and buy the sandwich, he's actually getting a mitzvah. I didn't get any mitzvahs for that. I have no desire for pork.
That's why.
That doesn't make me better. Whatever, my circumstances. I never ate it, Baruch Hashem. I never touched it. I barely ever saw it. And it's so ingrained in me that it's a horrible thing. So that's not one of my challenges. It doesn't make me better. It means I don't get a chance to fulfill this mitzvah. I don't get a chance to fulfill the mitzvah of Leisusur Achel Vavchem Vachre Nechem when it comes to a pork sandwich. Now, so what does that mean? So I should go and smell pork and almost taste it and tempt myself and then say, oh, now I can do a mitzvah and I'll do it? No, that's definitely not a good idea. The Rebbe once told the story of a man who was living in a village, a little village somewhere, and he was observant, and he was doing mitzvahs, and he kept Shabbos, all these things. And he started to think to himself, you know what? It's a big chacham to sit in a village and be really observant. I'm going to move to the big town, surrounded with all the temptations. And there, I'm still going to be observant, and then I'll show my real spiritual mettle, my courage of Yiddishkeit. And he did that. Moved to the big town, a little more challenging, but he still maintained his daily shul observance, and he was doing his mitzvahs. And he thought to himself, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm living in the Jewish neighborhood. Chachma, living in the Jewish neighborhood. I live in a non-Jewish neighborhood, surrounded by people who do things differently, where there won't be Shabbos on the street, where there won't be Yiddishkeit and Kashrus. And then I'll see. So, moved to a different neighborhood, and now he's one alone, the only Jew in the block, and not everybody even likes him. He's sticking to his guns and doing the right thing. And that's how it lasts for quite a while. And he thinks to himself, you know, of course I'm not doing any sins. I don't even have a challenge. Do I go where they go? Am I involved in their life? I'm sitting here in my own little house. I created my own little Jerusalem. He says, I need to start going to the theater. I need to start going to the cafes. I need to start engaging. And if I engage, and then I'll still be good. So for a while he was good. And then he caved in. And that was the end. And the point of the story is, you're not allowed to tempt yourself. Every morning we say in our blessings, Al tevienu lidei nisayon. Don't even bring me to the hands of a test. I don't know if I can withstand tests. I'm not looking for any tests. I'm not looking for it. If it comes my way, I have no choice. Then God decided I can deal with this test. But if it doesn't come my way, it's not my problem. So don't look for taivas. Don't look for lusts and desires. Say, oh, I want to fulfill this mitzvah. It's in the Shema. It's a very important mitzvah, right? I got to look for lusts and desires. I got to tempt myself. And I'll put myself mamash to the edge, and then I'm going to hold back. And you do it once, you do it twice, do it 20 times, do it 100 times, but the 101st time you may fall. Don't tempt yourself. We're not allowed to ever tempt ourselves. However, in the event that you're tempted, great. Now you have a mitzvah to fulfill. So the Alter Rebbe says, a person should not become despondent. A person should be joyous about this. But just say, come on, Alter Rebbe, you're playing games with me. That's not really a mitzvah. That's not doing a negative mitzvah. That's not really a mitzvah. So the Alter, and anyway, it's like, anyway, he says, so couldn't I be a tzaddik and still fulfill that mitzvah? Couldn't I be a super righteous individual, not have these bad thoughts, and still fulfill Leisasur Achel of Avchem, maybe not be a little lazy, and maybe try even harder in Avedis Hashem? The Alter Rebbe says, not really, because the Pasuk specifically says, Asher Atem Zoinim Acharehem, that you are lusting afterwards. He says, Ein HaKasuv V'Davar B'Tzadikim, this verse can't really be talking about Tzadikim, because Tzadikim aren't lusting after these things. So therefore, who is the Torah addressing here?
Beinonim.
It's addressing Beinonim. It once addressed the tzaddik when the tzaddik was still in the Beinoni state, but once the tzaddik has left the atmosphere, then it's no longer addressing the tzaddik. So you're saying, why do I have to be in this situation? Why do I have to have these bad thoughts? Why do I have to struggle with my Yetzirah? It's not fair. My neighbor doesn't, and you start getting into a melancholy, and then eventually say, you know what, this whole thing is worthless. I'm getting nowhere. I'm not making any progress. I'm just going to chuck the whole thing. The Alter Rebbe is what he's talking about. It's a beautiful opportunity you have. You have a meiridika opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person will say, so I could still do it if I'm a tzaddik. Actually, no, you couldn't. You couldn't. So, and not only this, but furthermore, ukeshamasiach daite ella, who is the pasuk talking about? It's talking about beninim, in between people. Okay, yetzebe. Sheneiflim lo hirhurei niyuf, that they have lustful thoughts. Bein beheter chulu, whether this kosher lust or not kosher lust, doesn't make a difference. Lustful thoughts is not appropriate. End of story. That should not fire a person's imagination. A person should be filled with positive things. So, kishmasiach daite, when you actually simply turn your mind away from it, mekayim lavzeh, you're fulfilling this negative mitzvah. So you say, but it's just a negative mitzvah. Big deal. Alter Rebbe says, don't say that. Even though it's not a positive mitzvah, v'amru rabbi seinu, our rabbis tell us in the Gemara in Kedushin and Gemara in Makkos, yoshev le'avar aveda, a person stays put and doesn't violate the sin, noisen le'sachar, he gets reward, ki'ilu asa mitzvah. As if he did a mitzvah. I simply didn't give in. And the rabbis are telling me, you didn't give in? You had a desire to do this and you didn't do it? Amazing. Then in that case, it's ki'ilu asa mitzvah. It's as if he did a mitzvah. And Neisen Le'Sachar, he gets rewarded. He gets remunerated from Hashem as if he did a mitzvah. Therefore, you have to be joyous in the fulfillment of this negative commandment. As if you have actually fulfilled a positive mitzvah. I want to finish with a Meiridika story, which is printed really in ancient sources and manuscripts. It hasn't been in print for a very long time. The story is about a man named Nosson Kitzutzia. And the legend has it, or the story is, that the great Talmudic sage Mar Ukva, a disciple of Rabbi Akiva, was Nosson Kitzutzia. After he became a Baal Tshuva, he became Mar Ukva. So the story goes that Nosson Kitzutzia was a man who was steeped in sensual pleasure and libido and a massive philanderer. And that was the currency of life. And there was a particular woman that he fell in love with, and he desperately wanted to express his lust. And she was a more or less righteous woman, a married woman, and she would rebuff his overtures, and he would constantly make overtures. He was very wealthy, and he tried to dazzle her and all kinds of things that you always rebuff him. Story goes, the days go on, her husband falls into bad times, he ends up in a debtor's prison. And the poor woman is frantic with worry about her husband, and she needs to be able to somehow get the money, and she finally goes to this guy, Nosson, the only rich person she knew, and said, could you please loan me the money? He said, loan you? I'll do better. I'll give you the money, but on one condition. Everything's, if it's on my terms, you get the money. And the poor woman, so what should she do? She asked, her husband, he could die in this debtor's prison. She said, okay, fine. So she takes the money and she redeems her husband. And Nosson says, we have a deal. And she said to him, look, we have a deal. I can't renege. You gave me the money. It's true. But she says, what are you doing? Are you meshuggah? She says, are you totally crazy? For one moment of stupid pleasure, you want to ruin your neshama and my neshama? You want to destroy the future, the eternity of the soul? For what? For what? Is this really worth it? And she spoke to him so sincerely that she touched his heart. And he said, okay, get out of here. And he didn't do the Aveda. In the meantime, she came home and her husband was convinced that she sinned. Her husband didn't want to be back with his wife. This poor woman was stuck in between. And this man controlled himself, which is actually mind-boggling kind of control. The story goes, a while later, Rabbi Akiva is sitting in Beis Medrash. There's a wealthy man riding on a horse. Rabbi Akiva says, go find out who that guy is. So his students came back and says, Rabbi, you don't want to know that guy. He's a philanderer, a playboy, a lowlife. Is it nothing good such a? Rabbi Akiva says, no. There's like a light around. This guy radiates with some kind of very, very incredible light. I need to speak to him. He calls the Nasi and says, who are you? What mitzvah? Mitzvahs? Rabbi, I'm not a mitzvah guy. I live in the Playboy Mansion. I'm not like that. I don't do that. Rabbi Akiva says, no. There's something. I sense something incredible. I haven't seen a light like this maybe ever. Tell me your story. So Nasan tells him a story. And between the things, he tells him the story, this event that happened. Rabbi Akiva says to him, you should know that when you didn't give in to your lusts and desires that had raged. By the way, in the story, Nasan gets sick at some point because he wants to fill his lust so badly. And the doctor said, if you don't get over this, you're going to die, because that's how badly he lusted this woman. And the Akiva says, the fact that you could overcome your lust, your desire, it says you have been given unbelievable spiritual potential. You're radiating with light. You have a halo around you. Rabbi Akiva said to him, become my disciple. I promise you will become a godly soul. You'll become one of the great sages of Israel. And Nasan was impressed with Rabbi Akiva's words. And he left behind his old life. And he became a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And in the end, one of the greatest sages of all time, Marukva. But this is the point. Had he not had those lusts and desires, he never would have reached greatness. So a person, when he has lusts and desires, should he fall into melancholy? No, on the contrary. The Alter Rebbe actually rotates this 360 degrees. He says it's a cause for joy. Because what is it really? Extraordinary opportunity. It's an extraordinary opportunity. And the person says, why me? Why do I have these lusts and desires? God hates me. And the answer is no, God loves you. He gave you these lusts and desires, didn't give it to anybody else, because he wants you to reach true greatness. And that's how the frum frown can become a great big smile.